Hey. There's an Anthony.
All the towels just fell out. Can we just get rid of
somebody
the
read
rolls?
It. Just bring
no, we just got to put them in there right. That's all.
It just doesn't work.
It works fine.
Well, they just all fell out.
You did it the last time.
No, I didn't either.
Yes, you did.
That was like a week ago.
That was the last time it was
good. Is the air conditioner on? Feels hot in here.
We stopped hitting ourselves in the head with a
fire. Yeah.
Can we open the doors?
Who? Anthony, did you leave the door open? What are you, born in a...
Chris.
This satellite age is. I'm going to be interviewed this morning by a Richmond, Virginia television station.
How are they doing that?
I got to go to Channel 5 because it's an NBC affiliate.
You can take your pictures. Live interview,
Mike. Yeah, live interview.
Give that to
television.
See, we'd set up our studio down here like we're talking. Go down there and...
Well, I would if you'd fix the goddamn towel holder.
Talk to Sue. Talk to the witch of the lair.
He was the last person to film it.
I'm here when nobody's around. I'm taking those things out and throwing them away and replacing them with 49-cent plastic roller. And then fix those lines. You can get the towels here.
Would you fix the damn light, too?
No, I'm not fixing that. That's Pete's problem. But I'm fixing the freaking towels.
I never have a problem.
Of course you don't.
Why is John perching?
He's waiting for the coffee.
Pete, anybody getting married?
He's not getting involved in this fray until he gets his coffee.
coffee. Anybody getting married this morning?
Are we on?
Nobody getting married.
We're on the air.
Paul said in Galatians, you can go there if you want to, but I'm just going to read this one scripture. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the gospel of Christ, unto another gospel. Now, we tend to read that and think, he's just talking about these guys over here, these Judaizers in Galatia. I don't think he is. I think he's talking to all of us. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. And how do we know? What's the basic way that we know that we believe another gospel? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ, through Jesus Christ, whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. The fiery trial is just anything that you don't like. It's an attorney that's giving you a bad time. It's a building inspector that's not paying attention. It's somebody here that is bugging you. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel. And here's the fundamental reason I believe, based on this thing that we've been talking about authenticity. The beast, you and I, the human race, you cannot afford, you cannot be, or you cannot present yourself in an authentic way. Because by definition, if you do, then you will find out, and everybody else will find out, that you're a liar. That you can only lie. So we've been taught systemically from childhood to think suffering is strange, so that we do not reveal the basic nature of who we are. So in reality, the only time we can use the word or the phrase of authentic person, the only authentic person has ever been is Christ. Because the rest of us are all liars. Because every time, you can see it, you can watch somebody's countenance. The moment that something happens, the instant, then this thing comes upon me. I can't do anything about it. What? What'd you say?
Oh, John, you were laughing at me.
can you get to this? This is why we glory in tribulation, because tribulation is what will reveal our tendency, our hardwiredness to be a phony. And that's there's nothing that, and I promise you, if you call anybody in the world phony, they're going to go for your throat. And yet, everybody is. I'm just doing the best I can. Is it possible to get down to the core of your being, so that you can understand that you're a liar, a cheat, you're phony, you're a thief? All of us are. And all of our parents are. Now you're talking about my mama. Even my sweet mother that Harry thinks is a saint, a phony. Let's look and see what Jesus said to the people that believed. These are the people that believed on him. Go to John 8. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, which had accepted him as their personal Savior, which have made him Lord of their life, which had made a decision for Christ publicly. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So freedom has something to do with ever. Freedom has something to do with eternity. It has nothing to do with being out of jail or having a prison ministry. Can you capture that a minute? I know that you are Abraham's seed. He's acknowledging them, that they are of the seed of Abraham after the flesh. But you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you.
He's talking to the guys who have accepted
him. That's right.
Seek to kill me.
I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now, do you understand? They're speaking. They're doing that which they have seen. Remember, we've talked so often, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. If there's a nanosecond between seeing and doing, then you're not being. You're trying to be. And this isn't a moral option. This isn't another thing you learn how to do. What?
I'm thinking there's no time to make a decision if you're being.
That's right.
If you're not being, then you're thinking through filters and then producing what you think is acceptable.
Well, and I'm not trying to bust you, but I am. This is exactly what you just did.
I did it well.
Yeah, you're an honest liar. Can you see that this mystery of authenticity is huge? And the only way that authenticity is revealed is by affliction. And everything in you and I, it wants to avoid affliction. This is why we must mortify the flesh. Not try to kill it. We have to see it as dead, so that you give no more confidence to it in any way. You don't give a holy rat's ass. What is a rat? Why would anybody care about a rat's ass anyway? Why do I say that? Huh?
It's holy.
Because it's doing what it's supposed to do. Now I lost my place.
Consider the rat.
let's go back.
I keep thinking about somehow this is related to why Jesus was nailed to the cross. You know,
it's like, well, that's what I remember. We've talked about that.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now, this is to the Jews that have accepted him as their personal Savior. This is to those nice guys that have made him Lord of their life. This is why, without exception, every person either was silent or yelled, "Crucify him." There was Nobody was pro-Jesus.
He says that, you know, the disciple will, you know, respond to his word or something, but then when his words are not what you want to hear, then you balk at it, and he takes that balking all the way to what it really is, which is you want to crucify him.
Yeah.
They would deny that. They would
go, no, everybody would.
It's not what we're doing.
I'm not crucifying you afresh just because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. I'm not crucifying you afresh because I'm trying to do something for my children or my family. I'm not trying to crucify you afresh because I'm trying to help the homeless. I'm not trying to crucify you afresh because I'm exposing televangelists. Everything we do that we think about is crucifying him to the flesh. I mean, crucifying the Son of God afresh. But now listen. You remember, you got to get this thing. Paul said in Galatians, but you can go look it up. He said, the promises of God were made to Abraham and his seed. And the word seed there isn't money, it's his spermite, his. He saith, not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. The promises of God do not go to Gary Buckner or to Harry Getzloff or to Billy Graham. The promises of God go to the one seed, which is Christ. Now that creates something that you have to hear. He alone, he says it's clear, only he which came from eternity can return to eternity. That's why he is the only begotten of the Father. That's why you must know the difference between the spirits or the voices or whatever information that is coming at you. Any voice, any information, anything that says to you that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And if it is come in the flesh, then you will not, you won't even, you suffering, you, nothing is happening to you. But the minute that something is going on with you, then you will confess that he did come in the flesh and that he will come in the flesh. But in that moment, you are, the garment is spotted by the flesh, you.
You believe he's gone off far from his temple.
Right. Or you send him off. You're trying to get him to go far off to...
He doesn't see us.
Huh?
I believe he doesn't see us.
It's not that we're, you know, this whole thing about, well, we it's not that we're going to be one. It's not that, I mean, everything is done. You don't.
Back to John. If you in verse 39, then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand what I'm talking about? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, this is to the disciples that have accepted him as their personal savior. And he says to them, you cannot hear my word. Why? Because they were hardwired for self-realization, the same as you and I are. That's why the moment you give any aspect of yourself importance, then you have raised the one that was killed from his deadly head wound. You've raised him from the dead. This is why it's so critical that you understand that the warfare is over. It's done. It's finished. But you reinvent the war when you bring yourself into the picture. That's why John the Baptist said, the only thing we do is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. There is nothing else. There is no other concern. And you will have 10,000 righteous concerns that you're convinced would be in the perfect will of God. And God says, no, you cannot hear my word. Do you hear me? Do you understand? You can't use the cliche, you can't use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. You can't understand him by trying. It's either totally finished, you're perfect forever, or it's black or white. It's hot or cold. It's finished or it's not even begun yet. There is no process. There is no time. Because if you're in time, you cannot hear his word. And then he really sets now. Now, they're talk about it. He predicted it a couple of sentences ago. You want to kill me? Now he makes it worse. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust or the desires or the wants of your father is all you're capable of willing to do. This is why there are only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. The will of Satan is expressed in your self-realization. The will of God is expressed only in your abandonment, taking no thought. This is black white. It's in this legal term. It's this shining line of demarcation. It's so bright. Once you see it, that you can never return. What? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And really what it says is all you're capable of willing to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, and it really says when he speaketh, he's speaking of his own, therefore it's a lie. He's speaking from himself. He's speaking from his father. It can only be a lie. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth or convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You've got to deal with this internally. And you've either got to say, I never again owe my senses, my persona, a widow's mind. I don't owe it anything. I don't owe what I think anything. I don't owe what I feel anything. I owe my flesh nothing. Do you understand its simplicity? Because I promise you, every single person that has ever been born of woman, born of man and woman, thought suffering was strange. It was not supposed to be. This isn't about some philosophy. It's debatable. And the evidence is overwhelming. And that's why the authenticity thing is such an important thing, because you see your own lack of authenticity. You see your phoniness and your acting and your, you know, trying to present yourself in the right way to get a desired result. And it's just sick.
You have to see that to have repentance, and you have to see that for any of us to have any fellowship, because we can't have fellowship on the basis of any of this other stuff. The only basis is our complete phoniness, you know.
Amen.
Then we're out of, you know, we're out of the picture.
Mr. Bojo? You've been fighting the wrong war. It's so goofy from a cosmic sense. Oh, we're going to go and win this election, and we're going to go and save this. We're going to go and do. No, you're not. You're just a puff of smoke. That's why it's a vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
You can't even start the trek until you can honestly say, I'm a phony, and see it and know it. I mean, then you're in agreement with God.
That's right. That's what confess, when it says to confess the Lord Jesus. Remember, we've talked about that so often. It doesn't mean to say he exists. That's kind of goofy. Or I heard it again last night. Matt Kraut said, I had a word from, he's talking to somebody, and he said, I had a word from God that Lori and I role and our function is to make Jesus famous. I almost fell off the chair.
Did he really say that?
Yes.
Well, who better?
Yeah, well, what? I mean, it's obvious.
Thanks, Matt.
but again, the only reason God permitted Matt to be there is so you can see yourself. Please. Can you see? I mean, it's really done. And you're fighting the wrong battle. You have something to do that you've got an agenda for, then you're playing Chinese baseball again. If you have a need, go to the Father and Him alone. But He's not going to honor when you go to Him and then you're out screwing everything behind that green tree over there. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're. Oh, I'm. It has to do with, it's systemic. The human race is gone from God's perspective. But what about? No. There's no more whatabouts. Well, what? No.
Cut them off in the past.
And Gary, I can say, kind of hear. I can smell the grease burning. Gary's got 43 whatabouts going on right now.
No, that's not what's happening.
Well, what happened?
I'll tell you what's happening. You asked me earlier, what's going on? And I lied and said, I was thinking about that lie.
We didn't know.
Nobody could tell.
But it was an honest lie.
It sounded real good. That wasn't an honest lie. It was an outright lie. Because I just didn't want to get into what I was really thinking about. And they ate it off the point, so I thought, well,
perhaps you did us a favor.
Thank you, Gary.
But as you read it, it was just unbelievable. You are your father, the devil. He was murdered, and I was like, there's no truth in him. And he's speaking a lie, he's speaking of his own. Like, it was hilarious. I was busted bad. And you didn't even do it.
In poker terms, you took a bad beat. No, bad beat is when you think you have the winning hand. That's it. You think you got it together. And then somebody gets 100-1 odds, draws out on you. That's called a bad beat. Mr. Bojo and I have to go to Fort Worth.
You have to go all the way to Fort Worth for this?
Yeah, because they didn't have enough stroke with the network bureau down here to get the satellite, so we have to go to another one of the affiliates.
They need extra time for makeup.
Yeah. What?
The makeup.
Extra time in makeup.
Do you leave
what does that mean?
Conditioner in your hair again?
Yeah,
take the conditioner.
No.
Don't do that. Whatever they did the last time, don't do that.
Wear a hat.
Yeah, pull down.
Yeah, you know, where's hat. No, I want one of those Jack Abramoff kind of hats.
Get a do-rag.
Yeah.
And sunglasses. No, you're on a mission for God.
No, I'm going to play poker and I'll borrow my sunglasses.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Take it, big guy, and please stop. That is really a neat car.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
It fits you.